Gumshoe, you'll have to shoot fast to get out of this light gun game alive. And welcome to Nostalgia, chronological exploration of every NES game released in North America. I'm Mike.
I'm Sean.
And I'm Sam.
Nice. Three people today. Joe, usually joins us remotely. He's traveling for real this time, so he will not be at this one. Guys, today we're talking about Gumshoe.
Hey, Gumshoe.
This was a game that Sean was pretty hyped about.
I was, and it was a very good description of the game.
Yeah, so Sean, do you want to maybe, take us through the objective of this game?
Okay, so I'm going to first start with what I thought this game was going to be, and then I'll tell you the objective of the game.
Love it.
Okay, so I thought this was going to be an adventure, detective, life on the streets sort of game where you go and you hunt down criminals and then you find your kidnapped daughter. It turns out.
Can I just say real fast? And Sam's already laughing, but that sounds like Grand Theft Auto meets Mario is Missing.
Yeah,
you know,
sure.
Just imagining how that works. You know, like,
well, if that was going to be a side scroller shooter,
right?
Nothing too.
In Mario is Missing, you ask questions. You're like a detective.
Mario is Missing. Yeah. I don't know that game.
Mario is Missing. It's an NES game much later on in life, and also a Super Nintendo game where you're like Luigi in the real world, visiting like continents, like, you know, and famous cities, and you're like in Rome and you're like asking questions
to
people about, have you seen Mario and stuff.
Wait,
like that.
Is that the game where you need the cursor?
We can't talk about this yet, but no, that's Mario Paint for Super Nintendo.
Anyway, what Gumshoe turns out to be is a game in which it's an endless scrolling game where you have to shoot Mr. Stevenson to make him jump, and that's basically it. You shoot other obstacles.
How do you shoot them, Sean?
You shoot them with your gun, your light gun.
Your light gun, the zapper.
Whatever.
Yeah. No, it's just, you know, the zappers come back.
Yeah.
Some things won't come back.
It's true.
Rob will never see the outside of the closet again.
Mm-hmm. And then it turns out that you are a separate entity. Like, Mr. Stevenson will actually address you at a certain point in the
game. But that's like a meta note.
I think that to get the full story of it is important as well.
Yeah, so I think I was going to address that real fast.
Oh, okay.
As like, here's an easier way to do it, Sean. The objective of the game is, Stevenson, I've got your daughter. Bring the 5 Black Panther diamonds to me within 24 hours or else come alone. P.S. Don't call me. I'll call you. King Dom.
Mr. X.
For being real for a minute, though, Mr. X is just some punk-ass kid. Like,
yeah.
King Dom sounds pretty, a big deal.
Sure. Yeah.
So, Sam, your thoughts on the objective of this game?
Yeah, okay. So, the objective of this game is to just get to the end of each level where someone will either call you on a payphone or, you know, meet you in like a shack somewhere or something like that and give you information about how to get to your daughter. But all these people and all these messages are from the guy who has her.
Okay.
You know, and then at one point they even give you a machine gun. So we can get there.
Yeah,
later.
We'll get there. I think more important than anything.
I got one more thing.
Okay, let's hear it.
And when they So I read the manual for this one, of course.
Okay, perfect. And you're the manual man.
Yes. And my favorite part of it was that it says that
King Dom.
King Dom has kidnapped Jennifer, your only daughter.
Not like that makes it more important.
Yeah, it's like,
I think the stakes are on there.
If she had a sister, then it wouldn't be that big of a deal.
Yeah, it's like, well, you have
everything
Sydney.
To lose. Yeah. Your only daughter is in trouble.
That was also my favorite part of everything.
I don't know why, but you saying King Dom the way you did made me realize that it's Kingdom.
Oh.
If you combine it, Kingdom.
Yeah, or it's like the King Dom. You're Steven Sub.
Right. Oh.
Sorry. Wow.
That is so crazy. And it's interesting that Steven's son has a daughter.
Get it? Anyway.
Oh, man.
We need to talk about what you're doing in this game. Okay,
you use the light gun.
Like your own guy.
We're not making it clear how difficult this is.
It's the most difficult game that you could imagine with a light gun.
Your guy is running all the time.
You cannot stop him if you wanted to.
He's walking. The only thing he'll do besides walk is he'll go up platforms if there is one directly in front of him that is also a wall, you know?
Yeah.
So he won't stop for a wall. He'll just jump on top of the thing. But if there's like a gap, a small gap, he'll still just fall right into it. He's not going to jump gaps. He'll jump on top of walls, though.
So you have to shoot him to try and encourage him to jump.
Yeah. And if you shoot him, you don't use your ammo. But you also have to shoot other stuff that's around him that can hurt him, like birds and like bottles.
Virtually anything.
Yeah. Airplanes. Bugs,
cars,
sharks,
bombs. Just throwing this out there. Is this throwing any red flags to anyone yet about like why are we shooting Mr. Stevenson to make him jump?
Because he needs encouragement.
Because they needed to figure out what to use the light gun for.
Right. It seems to me, I'm just going to throw this out there early, the light gun isn't needed. This game is pretty challenging with just a controller.
Yeah.
If you were to just control him, like, say he was still, like, you wouldn't be able to use the D-pad. Like, he still just was an auto-scrolling game where he just continues to walk. But you had to time your jumps correctly. Still a pretty challenging game at that point, because you have to dodge the obstacles and stuff like that. The light gun, and using that as like you must perfectly shoot Mr. Stevenson to make him jump. Like,
sorry, this isn't like Wild Gunman where, you know, if you shoot on this fourth of the screen, then you get it, or if you shoot on this half of the screen, you get it. You have to shoot the sprite. You know, these are small.
This is not an original thought of mine, but I read this somewhere and I think it rings really true. How the only, and this is the thing that I think redeems Gumshoe a little bit, is that it takes the three things that like Duck Hunt, Wild Gunman, and Hogan's Alley did as early light gun games and combines those elements into an actual game with Gumshoe. You need your lightning fast reflexes from Wild Gunman. You need your
accuracy.
Your accuracy from Duck Hunt, and you need your ability to discern like what you should be shooting. Mm-hmm. From Hogan's Alley. Like, you don't want to waste your time shooting targets that aren't necessary when you have to be focusing on the hammer that is launching from 1,000 feet in an opposite direction. Or the airplane that got really low to the ground and is coming at you.
Or the rhino that you can't shoot.
Right. Well, just talk about the difficulty one more time. Like, when you were describing what happens at the end of these levels, I had no idea that those happened because I never got past the first level. So I thought that you just, like, he says to pick up these diamonds. And so I hear that weird noise. It's a very mysterious music track that denotes a diamond being nearby. And then I pick it up. And then it just keeps going. And I'm like, I thought I did the thing that it wanted me to do.
Yeah, you got the diamond.
And then I have to keep going until 6 minutes are up, right?
Right. No, what's interesting about that, too, and we'll get there. I want to talk about the time because it says you have 6 hours, right? But really, it's like 6 minutes. The time thing was pretty neat.
Sure.
You know, like how, like, if you die, you don't reset the time. Like, it's not, you know, that now you have less time and you have, you know, and then at the end of the stage, it'll tell you, like, it's currently 12:05. And it's like, is this ever going to be important?
As hard as this game is, if the time is something that got me, I would lose it.
Right.
It's already frustrating.
Yeah. Sorry, you didn't do it in 24 hours. And the only other thing in the game that matters other than the time is also, like, those bullets. You have, like, a bullet count.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, in the top left.
I know.
Yeah. And it's, like, you're limited, but the balloons give you more. First of all,
who's putting bullets in balloons?
Right. No, another red flag for this game, right? Like, the game design doesn't really make any sense, right, if we're thinking about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I hate to bring it up here, but this is a Sakamoto game. What is he doing? He just made an essential game in Balloon Fight, and then he's like, you know what would be cool? If a bunch of random things happen.
It's like balloons. People love balloons. This game is not doing so well. Maybe if we have balloons, it'll make it better. Yeah.
But we're also not talking about, like, how many things are on the screen at once. Like, you're describing all these things. Can we just say for the record that there will be a time where a bomb, a plane, a rhino, and a hammer will be on the screen at the same time as you? And there's also, like, these random squares that cause instant deaths.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That you can't shoot.
Yeah, and you have to make sure that not only are you shooting all of that stuff to get it out of your way, you are shooting yourself to
get to the platforms.
Yeah.
So you have to be really good to play this game, but you also have to, like, I don't know, have like two or three light guns connected. Like, maybe that would help. I don't even.
Can you play it with more than one?
I don't think you can. I was lying about that. But like, yeah. But like, even more so, like, you know, the old trick for Duck Hunt was putting the gun up against the TV.
Uh-huh.
I don't think that works here.
Because it just makes you jump when you do that, too.
It would make you jump. Would it kill every enemy?
I guess it would kill everything, but then it would make you jump.
It's the same way that, like, how Joe described during Duck Hunt, how it's at different, like, all of the different flashes of light are at different frames. So if you just pointed it at your character, it would only make him jump.
That makes really, that might make a good case for why sometimes I felt like I hit Mr. Stevenson, and he still didn't jump.
Yeah.
Because I didn't do it on the right frame.
Yeah.
I'm like shooting. I'm like boom, 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 boom. So thank goodness the balloons, which are plentiful, give you those bullets.
Yeah.
Because to me personally, shouldn't have even been a limit on bullets.
Yeah. Well, no. I never even got close to running out. So
but
I don't know
imagine
why
if
that
you
was
did.
There.
Imagine if you were at like the end and it's like, sorry, you're out of bullets. You can't jump anymore.
Well, actually, if you read the manual, you'll know that you can still jump because your jumps don't take bullets.
Oh, so
even if you run out, you can still just jump.
Yeah, but do you really think you're making it to the end of the stage?
No, you're not making it past whatever little part of the screen you're on at that moment.
So, Sean, I'll bite. You said that you didn't get past the first stage. How far did you get?
I mean, it seems to kind of randomize, like, what comes next.
Sure.
Because there were a couple times that I started, and then not too long later, there'd be a diamond. And then there were times where I would play it for about 3 minutes straight and get to some desert. And there would be no diamond even anywhere close. So I don't even know, like, how far I was. So
how many minutes do you think you played?
I think it was, like, 3.5 minutes.
Okay.
What happens is there are checkpoints in the game.
Yeah.
And so if you get to a certain point and then you still have lives left, but you die there, it sends you back to a checkpoint. But it all kind of looks the same anyway.
Yeah.
So maybe probably happened a couple times. Yeah.
Me, yeah.
No, because I'll be honest here and just say that, like, I don't think I made it further than the first. I did get past the first stage, but I don't think I made it further than like the next couple panels. Like the game ramps up in difficulty. So it's already very hard from the start.
Mm-hmm.
But even doing an honest playthrough, like, it's so hard to get anywhere in this game that I can't even imagine doing anything like remotely close to getting to the end without losing all my lives. Like, yeah, I can't even imagine seeing the end of this game naturally. Sam, how far did you get?
Yeah, so I'm going to pull back the curtain a little bit. I wanted to see the end of this game, so I played this game on an emulator.
I'm glad you said that because I also eventually had to play this game on an emulator. It was, there was just no other way to, like, the mouse and the precision of it was the only obstacle. That was the only way I could eventually play this game.
And there was no way I could have done it without the emulator's rewind function, where it sends you back a little bit.
Right.
Because near the end of this game, I mean, I could spend, my options were either spend, you know, the rest of my life getting good at this game, because that's how long it would take.
It's like, it takes 10,000 hours to be good at the piano?
No.
It takes 10,000 hours to be good at Gumshoe.
No, I don't think so. I think that I could put my effort into becoming, like, a maestro instead. Yeah. But, and still, you know, I could take the same amount of time, put it towards this, and still never beat the desert level.
Right.
But
Sean's like, there's a desert level? Yeah.
No, so I beat the game using this janky function.
Now, I'll tell you what's funny is I used emulator, I still couldn't beat the game. Like, Prince of Persia-ing it, you know? Like, for those of you not familiar, like, there's, like, a rewind feature in Prince of Persia Sands of Time and all those other games where you hit, like, you know, you hit the rewind button, you're able to, like, redo stuff. And it's used for solving puzzles and that. For this, it was just, like, the second I got hit by an object, rewind, and, like, by the end of it, like, there's so many things going on in the later stages that I had to, like, get, like, frame perfect with it, and I'd be hitting rewind, click, shoot, kill, rewind, click, shoot,
no,
kill.
That's exactly, like, how it is. Once you get to the jungle, it's just impossible, because you have all these bugs going everywhere, and, I mean, not impossible, because I'm sure people are good at it, but...
We're not.
I'll be honest, yeah, we're not.
And actually, you know what? No, I don't think people are good at this game. The
if
final
you've
boss...
beaten this game, naturally, with a CRT and a light gun, show me. Or like, just I want to see a video of that. If you go on YouTube, everything is on an emulator for the ending of this game. No one is just capturing it, you know, the natural way.
Yeah. And for the boss, I know that the rest of the game seems like it's hard. Even when like you're in the jungle and there's all this stuff going on, there's bombs. The boss is, it's impossible.
So
because
I'm glad you brought up the boss there for a second. But since you did get through the entire game, we did leave our readers on a hook here with the whole, like, you know, Stevenson, I've got your daughter thing, right?
Yeah.
You were talking about how you get information through payphones and stuff like that.
Right.
What kind of information were you getting on your way to the boss?
So on my way to the boss, a payphone in the middle of the jungle started ringing.
Natural.
And so I went to it and it said, be careful. Zulu,
I think, yeah.
I forget exactly what it was.
Well, Zombo.
Zombo. It's okay. Yeah. You know, actually, you know, it was Bluto.
It was Bluto. Brutus.
It was Brutus, yeah. So whoever is the master of the jungle is near, and take this machine gun, because it's the only way that you can beat it.
And you're given that in a payphone.
Yeah, you're given a machine gun at a payphone by the guy. Wait,
hold on, I'm sorry.
The guy who kidnaps your daughter gives you a machine gun to fight this monster, to steal its jewels, to give him the jewels in exchange for your daughter. It seems like there's a real lack of foresight there.
Yeah. Also, like what doesn't make sense to me here is, like, King Dom, right, is doing this whole thing where he's sending you to get these jewels, right? And then he's going to give you back his daughter, right? But he just gave you a weapon.
That's what, like, that's what I mean. He gives you a weapon and he's right. Like, all right, then give me the diamonds after you take this machine gun.
So what's the final stage?
So the final stage is there is this monstery pig kind of
he kind of looked like Bigfoot.
Sorry, I meant, like, where are you?
Oh, you're in the jungle.
You're in the jungle in the end.
Yeah,
which would imply that, like, King Dom lives in the jungle.
I think so.
Okay.
Of course.
And so there's this monster guy, and he's kind of on not a platform above you, but, you know, those little how you can jump up one level, so it's like, you know, one sprite.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's that kind of a deal. So
you can't climb up it.
He's one of those, you're not moving anymore. Yes, you are still. And he fires blasts at you from his mouth, and you can shoot the blasts, but you're also you're also constantly shooting your machine gun, right?
Yeah.
But your bullets don't do anything unless they're hitting him or whatever in the eye. Okay.
Yeah.
So you have
It kind of looked like a cyclops to me, the final boss. Yeah.
It's a cyclops. So you need to shoot yourself to jump up to shoot it in the eye, but then it's also right in front of you. So you need to keep shooting, going back and forth between shooting yourself to get it right and shooting the blasts.
So this way they don't hit you.
So they don't hit you. But if one of them hits you, then it's over, you know? And it's just, and you need to hit it for so long.
So much harder than Bowser.
You really, really need to hit this thing. Like, I don't know how many times.
It's got
to
have a million HP.
It's like 20 times you have to hit it in the eye or something like that. And it's insane. Just,
like, 2 pixels wide.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's just really, it's really difficult. I was constantly rewinding the whole time. Otherwise, I don't get it.
And there was a point
this.
You came over to me and you were like, hey, what's the deal with the final boss? Can you beat this guy? I was like, I don't know. Like, find out. And I think that would be funny if they programmed it so that you always lose and your daughter stays kidnapped. But Sam, humor me here.
Yeah.
What happens?
All right.
After you beat the boss.
So you finally beat the boss. During the final boss, it's the music of the jewel. You know,
which is incredibly annoying.
Yes. Yeah. So the whole time you're playing the boss, that happens. After you beat the boss, the screen flashes black and white, giving tons of kids seizures. Right.
Yeah. It's really bad. I mean, like, he's playing it up there for a second, but it's literally like one frame of white, one frame of black, just played simultaneously.
For like 15 to 20 seconds.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then you get the jewel. And then just right behind the boss is the guy's house.
In the cave.
Why didn't he do anything to the monster? He lives right behind
it. His monster.
And then you present him with the jewels because they appear over your head. And then you shoot his hat off and he puts his hands up in the air, surrendering to you, even though he's got a gun, too.
Right. He actually, like, has a gun pointed at you from the second you walk into the house. He's got, like, a little pistol.
Yeah.
What's he gonna do with a pistol when he gave you a machine gun?
Well, the thing is, like, why doesn't he just shoot you and take the jewels? You know?
Right.
But, yeah, you shoot him in the hat with the gun that he gave you. And then he congratulates you breaking the fourth wall. Mr. Stevenson,
Mr. Stevenson, the player that you've been shooting the whole game.
Thank you so much for all of your help.
Yeah, he says that. And then it says, but later that same day, and the game restarts.
And it just goes right back to, Stevenson, I've got your daughter. Bring the 5 Black Panther diamonds. He's like, you have them. Yeah. Think about that. They're saying later that same day, and the objective is still to get the same 5 Black Panther. That's lazy.
That's
okay. That might be worse than the you know, then getting to the Super Bowl and finding out you're on your way to the Super Bowl, because that we at least cleared up. It's like, oh yeah, you're on your way to next year's Super Bowl. Like, the Super Bowl champs are always the favorites for the next year. So, like,
that's a justification. That is not the actual.
I know. But I'm just saying, like, that makes some sense.
There's nothing
How did he lose those 5 Black Panther diamonds so fast? Why is Cyclops back? Why did you lose control of your daughter so quickly? She's your only daughter.
As he was leaving. As Mr. Stevenson is leaving with his daughter, the guy, you know, the kingdom is like, okay, you know, like, you got me, like, I'll be good now. And your guy says, sure. So he's leaving with his daughter, and he's like, hey, girl, come over here for a sec.
You want some candy?
Yeah, and then it starts, Stevenson goes all the way back to where he goes back to the city, and he's like, oh, wait a minute, not again.
That's what I was thinking. It's like Home Alone. It's like, he goes on the flight, and instead of being responsible for like 10 kids, he's only responsible for his only daughter. And he's like, you know, I'll have a mimosa, and she'll have, and he looks over at the city, and she's not there. And he's like, we got to turn this plate around. And she goes,
okay. So the ending makes sense now.
Well, yeah. Except for the 5 Black Panther diamonds.
Yeah, whatever.
Anyway, that's Gumshoe.
Also, that's just a weird name. Black Panther diamonds? Like,
yeah.
The Black Panthers were established by this point.
Yeah.
You know? That's, I don't know
why they're calling them Black Panther diamonds. I hope it's as obvious as the Hogan's Alley thing and we're just missing it.
Yeah.
You know, but a couple things I wanted to call out here is like stray thoughts. This game could just be considered a collection of stray thoughts, but this game is the first NES game that we're reviewing essentially that was never released in Japan. It is exclusive to North America. This is our first North American exclusive. Japan wanted nothing to do with this game.
There are two theories as to why this is an American exclusive. One is because of subject matter, like the detective thing, the whole...
Yeah, it's like a film noir thing.
Yeah,
it's not
that,
really...
That
a,
kind of that, like a film noir on LSD. and then the second one is, it's just too bad. It's just like, all right, we tried to make this game, and it's not going to perform well in Japan. We know that. So let's just dump it on America.
Hey, I mean, it might have been bad, but it got the Nintendo quality seal of approval.
Hey, it's quality.
Yep. And then another...
It's a quality of something.
Yeah, quality. Yeah. I was trying to get some Sakamoto goodness. You know, he's always talking about his games and stuff. He is crickets on Gumshoe. Okay? There is not a single interview that he's done. Even in the interviews about other games, he doesn't mention, like, yeah, I was responsible for games like Balloon Fight and Gumshoe. You know, he doesn't talk about it. So I think he also doesn't consider this game worth talking about. And he'd probably be blown away that in 2018, 3 kids talked about it for 30 minutes.
Kids.
Yeah.
Kids, yeah. Yeah, we're all like 25.
Wow, you're really young.
Sorry, Sean.
Anyway.
Yep.
Let's keep moving.
Yeah, let's keep moving along and maybe bring this into the essential games list. All right, guys.
This game is essential.
Nice. You heard it here first, folks.
We got it. No,
you can have to justify it.
Esposito Film at Twitter. I'm sorry.
Ooh, okay, you're jumping right to the ending.
That's it.
Guys, the essential games list, for those of you that don't know, we're just deciding if these games are still worth playing today. Usually we spoil it by this point, like you know how we feel based on what we've been talking about. But I think we kind of surprised you guys last week with Balloon Fight. That's essential.
It is essential.
And not everybody was feeling too groovy about that. So, Gumshoe, Sean.
Okay, so we spent the past however many minutes shitting on this game. I'm... going to say real quick that I am not as skeptical of the actual like gameplay conceit that they are pushing on us. I get that the whole shoot him to jump is an abstraction. Like, it's just another way of interacting with the game. I think it adds some depth if it were executed properly and not just have the rest of the game be completely just a mess of other things like Donkey Kong 3.
Right.
I think it's similar to how that like that third mode in Hogan's Alley. Was it Hogan's? No.
No.
It was
Wild Gunman.
Wild Gunman, where you
the shooting ring, the shooting gallery.
Yes. That's Hogan's. That's Hogan's Alley.
That is Hogan's Alley. I like that because it's another level of just interacting with the space.
Right.
But the rest of it is a mess. The story doesn't make sense. The gameplay is incredibly hard, and I don't even know if whoever designed it could finish this game. Maybe you are listening and you've finished this game, but I don't care. You don't exist. So no, this isn't essential. This is a mess.
Sam.
Kind of going off of your point, I think that it is an interesting game mechanics-wise, but yeah. It just needed a much better execution. And we were talking about this a little bit before that I don't think we actually mentioned on the podcast, that if it had been some kind of control scheme, like one person controls the person and someone else controls the, the light gun, the zapper, and is shooting the things while one person is moving around and jumping, I think that could be a really fun game.
I think that's really cool. And we were talking about that before the show, and I do think that that's something worth considering. I think they probably didn't want to go that route because it's a game that would require two players.
Yeah,
but they should have like
I think
allowed for an option or
even
something.
Even something like you hold one controller in one hand and you press any button and it makes the character jump, and or maybe like press A or you press something on that controller to make the character jump, and then you use the light gun to shoot everything, just so that you don't have to keep shooting your own guy. That would make it a better game. It would be frustrating, but it would make it a better game still. But nah, this game is just, it's cool that there's like a story to it with a light gun game. I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
But it's just not good. It's not essential.
Yeah. And I think an interesting point that Sean just brought up too is like, did the people who made this game, like Sakamoto and them, did they play it and were they able to get to the end? Because I just don't see it. It's so hard. And look, that's not why I'm not going to put it in the essential list, because that's like a bad barrier, because some people are really good at video games and some people are really good at other kinds of video games. So skill and difficulty should never have anything to do with it. We shouldn't just let easy to win games be in the essential games list, which I don't think we've really done. No. Super Mario Brothers is challenging still.
Yeah.
And Balloon Fight is not a game that is like rewarding to beginners. So we're not just letting easy games in, and we're not letting games that are so difficult be like, no, they're too difficult. They're not getting through. What kills me about this game is that if you just strip down some of the, if you didn't have so many objects on the screen at once, if you had a different way to control your character, if you didn't have to shoot, if you didn't have like a limited amount of time and bullets and stuff like that, and you had like more concentration or ability to like, play with time the way that we did, like if you had some kind of ability to less things on the screen, you could shoot less. I don't know what the answer is here. What I'm saying is not remove all those things, but this game is too busy right now to be rewarding.
Yeah.
There's too much going on. We were all dying so quickly that we resorted to emulator versions to figure out what was going on in the game. Like I need to talk about this game, so I got to do it some other way. Somehow Sam powered through the whole thing. But the fact that even with the emulator and the cheat version, I guess you could argue, of me rewinding time and stuff like that, the fact that still couldn't hold my attention. That I was like, no, I still don't. I don't want to play this game right now. I don't care how it ends. I'm not invested in this guy's only daughter.
I was trying to get you to finish it.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm like, no, I'm not going to do that because this just isn't a good game. That's what bothers me about some of these early NES games. And we're going to see it a lot more later. But these early NES games, they're so important to developing like video game as a culture and like, this is what video games are like, and they're not like those old Atari 2600 games. But we've got some big duds here right now, and I think Gumshoe is one of them.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really not fond of this game, and I think it's kind of silly that Sakamoto would go through with something like this, and that Nintendo wouldn't have enough faith to put it out in Japan, but they were like, oh, our North American audience needs a game, so let's give them Gumshoe.
So Sakamoto, if you can hear me right now, Even 30 years later, people are still disappointed in you.
Yeah. And that's not just because of Other M. anyway, that's a no from me. And that's all the time we have for this episode of Nestalgia. Join us next time for Mock Rider. And be sure to play it yourself if you can. You know, I'm kind of ad-libbing here, so I'm just going to try to remember what I usually say. But maybe that's fresh for some of you. Maybe you're like, oh, we got him. No, you didn't get me. Because if you want more, you go to NostalgiaCast.com. That's NostalgiaCast.com. There, you can find links to the shows and the show notes, as well as some articles.
Is baseball haunted?
Is baseball haunted? What are the best NES launch ROM hacks? What's Shigeru Miyamoto doing these days?
What does Sean look like?
Right. And just to be clear, there is going to be a definite article about what Sean looks like. We're just going to, like, you know, link to all of his social media, and we're going to put a big...
What's Sean's social security
number? Yeah, we're going to put, like, a pin on, like, where he used to grow up and stuff like that. But also, like, you know, the articles are fun. They're meant to be fun. They're, like, lighthearted things. The Miyamoto thing, no, that's, like, a real thing that I'm working on. It's probably out by this episode, but it's, like, all, you know, basically, like, looking at the early Miyamoto games and really determining, like, what was his contribution to those games. Sounds pretty cool. You listen to these retro podcasts, you might want to read articles about these kind of things. So check them out on the website, as well as our other stuff like Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, Facebook. We barely use them, but you might as well go to them because we have links to them. I'm Michael Esposito. You can find me on Twitter.
That really was ad-libbed.
You can find me on Twitter at Esposito Film, and I'll talk to you soon.
It's one it's pixel.
It's challenging to
no,
deal
I,
with.
No, I'm joking.
There's more all right,
let's
than
do this.
That.
All right,
let's
be recording.
More than that.
Headphones on.
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Me.
Jambalaya.
You're supposed to do gum and then gum who, gum shoe. Don't you notice how this works? Like,
shut
there hasn't
the
been a single. There hasn't
up.
Been a single
shut
game that hasn't been two
podcast.
Syllables.
I quit the podcast.
Well, name one game
balloon
besides.
Balloon fight.
Knock, knock. Who's there? Balloon. Balloon who? Balloon fight.
Super Mario Brothers.
Knock, knock, who's there? Super who? Super Mario Brothers.
That's not a syllable.
It works!
Knock,
it
knock.
It follows the laws. But who's there?
Tennis.
Tennis.
Tennis who?
Tennis shoes!
And welcome to Nostalgia. This is your host, Sean Tresman. I don't care about the chronology of it. We're skipping to Metroid. Here it is.
Today we're talking about Super Mario Brothers again. Because we don't want to talk about gumshoe.
Today we're talking.
Three.
About.
Two.